Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
He's one of the best analysts. I don't want to call him an insider, but I'll call him an analyst when it comes to the NFL, college football. He's also a fantastic host here at Fox Sports Radio. He'll be joining you here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show as always on the iHeartRadio app. Single one of our Fox Sports Radio affiliates, wherever you are taking part in the program. Happy Thursday morning to you and yours, and we do it all live from the Outkick the Coverage Fox Sports Radio studios here. So we will be catching up with Brady Quinn coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. This just came out, according to Diana Rossini of ESPN. J.J. Watt has received several offers from teams. The best offer he has received right now is between $15 to $16 million per year per sources. I had seen $12 million. I had seen that number being thrown out there, that he was probably going to be around $12 million. If this is the case, that's more than I would have expected J.J. Watt was going to get. But, you know, we will see how that shapes up. There was a report from John Clayton who said J.J. Watt, the teams that it looks like are going to make the strongest push to try and go and sign J.J. Watt or to make a run at J.J. Watt, those three teams were going to be the Titans, the Packers, and the Bills. And he also listed the Raiders as a dark horse team. I don't see the Raiders happening. I just don't see how that works. I don't see how the Raiders, you know, how that makes a lot of sense in the sense of J.J. Watt getting to Las Vegas. I think this is all about John Gruden, you know, wanting to flirt with everybody publicly, you know, wanting to talk about all these other players and wanting to talk about, like, the Raiders just doesn't make sense to me. Like, J.J. Watt with the Raiders doesn't make sense. But the Titans would make some sense. I think the Titans are desperate for anything on defense. They're, you know, one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL. They were near the bottom of the league in sacks, which is why they were in all the way on Jadeveon Clowney and were in a bidding war for Jadeveon Clowney. The Packers make a lot of sense just because of the hometown connection. And so you look at that and go, well, you know, he gets to go back to Wisconsin. And then I think the Bills make a lot of sense because they fit all the requirements and all the criteria for J.J. Watt. They've got the franchise quarterback. They were a game away from a Super Bowl a year ago. He wants to go play for a contender, so that would make some sense for J.J. Watt as well, too. So we will keep you posted on that as to whether or not J.J. Watt makes a decision anytime soon. My best guess, similar to Drew Brees, they're going to stretch this out a little bit. You know, you just like the attention a little bit. And I don't blame him. If I was going to be a free agent and, you know, in demand, I'd maybe want to, you know, stretch this out as far as I could possibly get it as well, too. So J.J. Watt feels like that's where he's going to take this thing. And then Drew Brees just feels like he's waiting for the right time until there's no news in the NFL so he can announce his retirement. Again, not trying to be negative, just going based on reputation and how these guys have behaved in the past. That's all I'm saying. Just, you know, just want to point that out here. So we will be catching up with Brady Quinn here coming up momentarily on Fox Sports Radio. Get his thoughts on some of these rumblings at the quarterback position around the NFL, plus draft rumors. Some of these draft rumors that are out there, whether it's Zach Wilson going to go ahead of Trevor Lawrence, and some people like one player over another, just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So are we connected with Brady Quinn yet here on Fox Sports Radio? Are we? Okay, so we are connecting with Brady Quinn. We got the red carpet for the guy. He's very in demand, very, very popular. So we've got to roll out the red carpet, and we've got to let it be known that that Brady Quinn is now joining the show. We've got to give all his credentials out. We've got to talk about all the TV he does. We got to talk about the stuff on you know, the things he does on social media. We've got to talk about all the radio he does. We got to talk about him being a first-round draft pick. We got to talk about him being the pride and joy of South Penn and Dublin, Ohio. But why do we got to talk about all that? Let's pump up the music. And ladies and gentlemen, roll out the golden carpet in your ears and welcome in the man I do a show with every single Sunday night here on Fox Sports Radio, and that man is Brady Quinn. My man, the pride of Dublin. What's happening?
You know the funnier part about these very, I don't know how to describe them, this over-the-top intros?
Yeah, what's that?
It's the fact that you know I hate them, and you do it every single time.
What do you mean? I thought you liked this. I thought you liked this kind of attention.
No.
You don't like this?
No, I absolutely hate it. You know that after working together for 5 years.
Hey, so J.J. Watt, I don't know if you saw this, Brady Quinn, but I didn't.
What, did he have his shirt off again?
No, he didn't, and there's no Hard Knocks cameras around. But I didn't know this. So Diana Rossini sent a tweet out that J.J. Watt has received several offers from teams, and the best offer he's received is between $15 and $16 million per year. If that's the case, are you surprised it's that high? Like, I'm surprised that it would be that much, or am I you know, underselling J.J. Watt's importance to the next team he decides to go to?
Well, look, I mean, he had a great year last year. I realize he's missed some time. He's dealt with some injuries. But, you know, this guy is a former, at his best, defensive player of the year in the league. The question is whether or not, you know, how much of that he still has left in him. You know, look, not knowing the duration of that contract, how much is there in guarantees because of his injury history and because of his age and the position that he plays, you know, it's hard to kind of know how much of that's actually legitimate, right? For example, you know, Tyrell Williams just got cut from the Raiders. He was, I think, 2 years through a four-year deal for $44 million, right? That's how it was reported. That's how Rossini or others would report it. The reality of that contract is it was never going to be close to that number. That's just the agent who gets to a lot of the reporters that pumps up the value of what actually the deal is. So until we actually see the duration, the guarantees, the value and all that, I really don't know what to make of all of it. It's probably just the agent wanting to kind of peacock around a little bit about the deals that are coming in.
Oh, man, I love the way you say that. Brady Quinn here joining us on Fox Sports Radio. Fox NFL college football analyst, Fox Sports Radio host, Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on FSR. So the Steelers announced it looks like Ben Roethlisberger is going to be back. Not surprising, right, considering where they're at, the situation they're in, but they're going to try and rework the contract. What do you – when they say, well, right, we're going to have to rework the contract, what do they mean by reworking the contract? How do you think this looks next season for Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, they've got to extend them and include some voidable years, similar to what they've done with Drew Brees, right? And what that means is essentially – you're going to convert a portion of whatever number that is, which they've already kind of restructured. And so his cap, it's $41 million bucks this year, but he's already been paid some of those monies. And really he's only making about 19 for this particular year of service. And so the question becomes, how much of that can you continue to keep kicking the can down the road, whether you extend him for a year or 2 years, and then put in those voidable years? Because the trouble with doing that is, let's just say, for example, they extend them, and this is his last year playing. Well, you know, next year, they'll end up all the money they tried to push down the road over the next 2 years, it all comes right back to next year's cap. And even though he's not going to be playing on that roster, he's still going to be counting as if he's playing on that roster to some amount. And so that's the issue is, you know, you could keep pushing this stuff off towards the future, but eventually – you have to account for it, and then it's going to end up hurting future teams' salary cap. But the reason why I think they're going to do that now is because once we get through this year, once this TV deal is signed, the salary cap is going to skyrocket back up. So they should have enough space to be able to make it work.
What's your best guess as to where the salary cap is going to be? Because it's at, what, 185? Is that where we're at for this year? Have they determined that? Is that the final number?
I've seen somewhere between 181, 185. They haven't really – I don't know that they've declared an exact number or figure yet, but that's kind of the ballpark. I don't know that it will get to 185. It'll depend upon the revenues from this past year once they have a chance to review it. The reality is, though, you know, if the TV deal is what everyone says it's going to be, which it's being reported to be a 10-year deal, it's going to double in value, and it's probably the last time we're going to see something like this, only because of the fact that broadcast and cable, which still dominates, but that number 10 years from now is going to be drastically different with so many people switching to streaming. So the structure of these deals is going to look different. with the way they go about doing it. And this might be the last big one, at least for the cable and network providers. So, or broadcast providers, excuse me. So, you know, what's that number going to look like? I mean, it was almost $200 million this past year going into it. I think it'll jump back up into like 210, maybe, you know, 220, depending on what those numbers look like and how they're distributed and how fast they can realize those gains. So that's the hard part is, you know, it might not come into a play in 2022, but by 2023, 2024, the NFL is going to be very, very healthy, still making a ton of money.
And so do you think is there going to be a strategy or are free agents or players going to look at this and go, hey, you know, maybe I take a one-year deal and come back next year when there's more money around? Or is that too risky in the NFL with all the injuries that happen and occur, and you just take whatever contract you can get when it's offered?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a combination of things. I think you see a lot of one-year deals, but or in essence, two-year deals that are looked at as one-year deals. And that way, if they want to pay them, because they're so concerned about the salary cap, you know, they can, you know, pay a heftier signing bonus and then spread it out over a couple of years, right? So that number's, you know, kind of cut in half. You know, so let's say, for example, you know, if you're giving a guy a $10 million contract over 2 years, if you give him an $8 million signing bonus, you know, you're able to split that number now over the next couple of years as far as how it's going to impact your salary cap. You can prorate it. And so it lessens your cap hit. And in a year where I think a lot of people are trying to create space or create room so they can still fill out their rosters and maximize their ability to sign guys in free agency, you know, I could see a lot of those scenarios. So, like, I think one-year deals will be pretty common, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see some two-year, three-year deals too, you know, just where they're going to pay a hefty signing bonus, but then not actually pay them a big salary, but be able to spread that signing bonus over the next 2 or 3 years to lessen the cap hit.
Brady Quinn, Fox NFL college football analyst, Fox Sports Radio host, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on FSR. This is Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Joel Corey put together what I thought was pretty interesting, just sort of a sample contract as to what it could look like in regards to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. And look, there's a lot of numbers involved, but the average, you know, annual salary he was talking about was $41.5 million for Dak Prescott. Are you amazed that we're even still here, that this deal it has taken this long to get done? And just the idea that people continue to push back on the fact that Dak Prescott's going to get paid no matter what. Like if I told you 2-3 years ago, hey, you know, we're still going to be having this conversation about Dak Prescott, but don't worry, they'll pay their running back and wide receiver. To me, this is all on the Cowboys.
It's on the Cowboys because they haven't, you know, figured out a point in which they should just commit or agree to that long-term deal that it looks like it's a big number because we see the total amount he's going to be being paid. But, you know, look at Goff, look at Wentz. You know, the teams moved on after those deals relatively quickly, and other teams were willing to, you know, go ahead and trade for them. Granted, giving up draft compensation and, you know, a player in the case of the Rams and the Lions. But the reality is, you know, we look at that and we're like, oh, my gosh. You know, for example, the Eagles are paying $34 million for a player that's not even on their roster this year. You know, that's what the Eagles will have, $34 million of a cap hit. And you know, Wentz isn't even there. He's with the Colts. But the truth is, you know, as you start to look at a lot of these bigger long-term deals, that number is only going to go up and up and up and up. So, you know, am I surprised that the Cowboys had waited this long? Not really, and really for this reason. Dak Prescott, in his first 3 years, his best year was his rookie year. And then it was like, all right, he kind of needs some help. He needs everything to be perfect out around him. And then really the past year and, you know, what, however many games he played last year, 4 or 5, 6 games, whatever it was, you know, a year and whatever it was last year, he really displayed why, all right, they made a mistake. They should have extended him back then. Because, you know, after that first year when he lit the world on fire as a rookie and played really well, he kind of was just okay. And he kind of was like, all right, do we want him to see him moving in the right direction? Since that point he has, and that's where he's really, I think, been able to garnish all the leverage. And that's where, I mean, Jerry Jones has admitted he's got all the leverage at this point. It's just about them realizing that they've got to agree to that astronomical number with a player that's coming off of an injury. So you don't know how that's going to work. And you also have to think to yourself, like, all right, like, this is a pretty talent, you know, star-studded roster. You know, could someone else come in and do the same thing? And are we willing to let Dak Prescott walk in order to draft one or bring one in and find out. And that's a gamble that I don't think Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones is willing to take.
By the way, you mentioned Carson Wentz. I want to let you know that karma is a real thing here for people out on Sports Talk Radio. I want to let Brady Quinn know, everybody listening here on Fox Sports Radio. Karma is a real thing because, you know, I was making a couple of jokes about, you know, that zit Carson Wentz had that on the back of his neck during our show last week on Fox Sports Radio. I don't know if you remember that, Brady Quinn. I was making comments about, you know, that duffel bag for a zit he had on the back of his neck. Do you remember that? We were having that discussion.
I don't recall this. This is actually the first I'm hearing this. Maybe I blocked it out, but this is the first I'm hearing of, any sort of acne or zit that was on Carson Wentz's neck.
Well, I'll have you know, I never had acne growing up. I have dry skin. I never had acne. I woke up yesterday morning with a baked potato on the side of my cheek. I mean, the thing is huge. And I just want you to know that that was clearly karma. I got what I deserved. I made a couple of jokes about a guy who had some acne on the back of his neck. And here we are. I'm walking around with this giant thing on my face. So I just want you to know that karma is a real thing. Just letting you know.
Well, maybe you should try to get Carson on as a guest, and he could help you out figure out what to do with him.
That's very good. Yeah, that would be I'm sure he wants everything to do with a show like this.
By the way, the type of sports talk radio that you're all about. So yeah.
Of course it would. By the way, you do, in all seriousness, you do really good stuff. You have a foundation, the Third and Goal Foundation. Tell people just a little bit about it, and if they want to find out more information about what Brady Quinn does for veterans, where can they go to do so?
Yeah, so it's called the Third and Goal Foundation. It really was started back about 11 years ago now. My dad served in Vietnam. My grandfather had served in World War II, and which kind of I've always been raised to appreciate, you know, the military, all our veterans out there, everyone who sacrificed so much for our liberties and freedoms. So I decided to create a foundation that helps honor them, and we do it in three ways. We have Operation Home, where we remodel homes to make them handicap accessible for wounded veterans. Operation Education, where we put on educational platforms to help them start, finish, or continue their education. And then Operation Joy, which is really where we go about, in particular around the holiday times, helping out military families in need. So to find out more information, you go to thirdandgoalfoundation.org or 3ng.com. It's a little easier to find us there.
Yeah, no, it's awesome stuff. You do really great work, and you've helped a lot of people, so it's been tremendous. He is Brady Quinn, Fox NFL college football analyst, a Fox Sports Radio host. We will be working side by side, not literally, but side by side, Sunday nights, 8 to 11 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Pacific time here on Fox Sports Radio. My man, have a good rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk this weekend, babe.
Sounds good. You as well.
There he is, the great Brady Quinn here on Fox Sports Radio. That's a true story about the karma. Because there was like a shot on the sidelines a couple years ago. Carson Wentz on the back of his neck. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It looked like, you know, a duffel bag. And they just were doing this close-up. And I was like, dude, get this guy's zit off my TV. Like, I don't want to look at this. And so I was talking about it this past weekend, and I woke up yesterday morning. I'm not even kidding you. This thing's huge. And so it's clearly I got what I deserve. So you shoot your mouth off, and you get called out for it. I mean, not like Matthew Judon and that Ravens reporter, who apparently is cheating on his wife, according to Matthew Judon, but similar. All right, Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox. Coming up next, somebody in the NFL is having a brutally honest conversation about their quarterback, but you're not used to it, and I'll tell you why. That's next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Fox Sports Radio, and this is Outkick the Coverage here. We are going to have there's somebody in the NFL has a brutally honest conversation about their quarterback. It's seemingly every single offseason, but we're not used to it. So we will get to that here, and we will listen to those comments coming up here in just a few moments from now on Fox Sports Radio. There's a lot of people waking up right now on the West Coast, a lot of people listening to AM 570. LA Sports, the blowtorch of Fox Sports Radio in Los Angeles. And, you know, they're wanting to have their nerves calmed when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers were ripped in half last night by the Utah Jazz. And let me look, the Utah Jazz have been running roughshod over a lot of people in the NBA. They're playing at a really high level right now, and that's a difficult place to play anyways. And the Lakers went there without Anthony Davis. They're shorthanded, and they got crushed. And they were never really close in that game. Utah was just a better team. And look, end of the season, maybe Utah is the better team. I'm just not going to freak out about it. Not doing it. Like, the NBA is set up in a way in which you should not freak out about anything during the regular season. If you want to get excited at certain points of the season, that's fine. If you want to get a little bit disappointed at certain points of the season, that's fine. But this whole, we're going to base our opinions from one game to the next, in a league of runs, in a league of 1 minute you're up 15, the next minute you could be down 7. Like, in a league of runs, in that type of league, the same thing applies to the regular season. Anthony Davis is out. Of course they're not going to be as good of a team without Anthony Davis. The only concern long-term for the Lakers should be this. And if you're a Laker fan listening on AM 570 LA Sports, this is the concern. Anthony Davis, when he comes back, what happens to the Achilles? That's it. That's the only concern you should have. What happens to the Achilles? Because we've seen situations like Kevin Durant play out in the finals, where he came back and ultimately ended up rupturing it. Richard Sherman, if people remember that, Richard Sherman was a member of the Seattle Seahawks. And Richard Sherman knew that there was something wrong. He had some tightness. He felt like something was going on there with his Achilles. And Richard Sherman came back and ended up tearing it all the way. Like, we've seen those situations occur. That's the only thing you should worry about when it comes to Anthony Davis, or when it comes to the Lakers this season. Because if Anthony Davis comes back, the way that the playoffs are formatted and the way that it sets up is exactly why you don't get upset or freaking out about any of these things that are happening in the regular season. Don't freak out about it. Don't stress. Don't get all nervous. Like, oh my God, this is you don't be arrogant about it and say, oh well, we don't have anything to worry. No, you do have something to worry about. It's Anthony Davis's health. Period. But if you get to the playoffs, you still got to beat LeBron 4 times in 7 games. That's tough to do. It's always been tough to do, unless you get to the finals and he loses a bunch. You know, there's all that. But you still, like, it is still built and still there for the taking for the Lakers. It's going to be much more difficult this year, I believe. I think a lot of weird circumstances took place in the bubble. I think a lot of teams that underperformed, maybe some teams overperformed. So I don't think you're going to get the same type of, stroll to the finals that you got a year ago. But I don't think this little skid, them playing poorly right before the All-Star, but I don't take anything from it, man. Honest to God. The only thing I would worry about is get Anthony Davis healthy. And if he comes back and he doesn't re-aggravate the injury or, God forbid, do something worse, you're going to be fine. Other than that, don't worry about it. All right? People are going to spew the hot takes. It's going to happen. I wouldn't stress out about it. All right? So a little bit of a calming of the nerves here for all our friends listening on AM 570 LA Sports. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio from the Farmers Insurance Outkick Studios. Coming up next, brutally honest comments from one person in the NFL. He's a front office member talking about a quarterback. We'll have those for you here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio and live from the Farmers Outkick Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. Coming up in, we'll call it less than 15 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we're going to place a little bit of blame, in the NFL on somebody that deserves the blame. That'll be happening here less than 15 minutes from now on FSR. So the Jimmy Garoppolo situation with the 49ers is just, I don't know that I can recall anything like this, to where you've got a quarterback who's won a bunch of games. They were just in a Super Bowl, and he's got people in the organization who just routinely call him out publicly. Like all the time gets called out publicly. And you can look at it and go, well, you know, this is mind games and this is that, and that's all fine. But the latest example of talking about Jimmy Garoppolo publicly, but in the opposite of what they normally do, was John Lynch, the general manager, now a Hall of Famer. But John Lynch was on the I Test for Two podcast recently, and he talked with them about Jimmy Garoppolo's status with the organization.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback when you line up in September?
No, not at all. I mean, I really believe that he, you know, I just look at the numbers. I mean, he's 24 and 9, 25 and 9 when he's played. You know, the being available is a big part of this thing. So, like I said, we probably as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better, and we got to have better options if he's not there. But, you know, I've watched people go through this in the career where they struggle. It happened to me early, and then I went 8 years without missing a practice. So I believe that things can happen. I believe they will for him. And you know, I really believe that Jimmy is our guy.
And so that was John Lynch talking about his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Because we're jaded and because we hear these comments and this sort of discussion from people in the NFL or people in sports, the immediate response would be, well, of course he's going to say that. Of course. What else is he going to say? I mean, of course he's going to defend his quarterback. He's not going to come out and like, what else is he going to say? That's the standard response. That's where we always go. That's always going to be how we react to something like this. Here's why it's different. John Lynch is the one guy I actually believe what he says when it comes to this, because he's been so brutally honest about Garoppolo in the past. Think about this. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers get to a Super Bowl. They get to a Super Bowl, and with about 6 minutes left in that Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo is outplaying Patrick Mahomes. He's outplaying him. San Francisco's winning that game, and Patrick Mahomes is not playing well, and Jimmy Garoppolo's outplaying him. This is Patrick Mahomes, one of the great talents we've ever seen, the guy who's getting paid $400 million, the face of the NFL, the future of the NFL, going to break all the passing records, the MVP, talked about as Dan Marino times 10 when it comes to talent and all the great. And Jimmy Garoppolo was outplaying that guy on the biggest stage in the Super Bowl. And then the very next offseason, John Lynch speaks publicly and says, yeah, no, we've definitely sniffed around about Tom Brady. Yeah, we know, see about Tom Brady. And I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, a guy like that comes available. Why wouldn't we do it? Like, think about that. He just had you in a Super Bowl. And you could say, well, you know, but he missed that pass to Emmanuel Sanders. And I get all that. The game didn't end well for Jimmy Garoppolo. But they were winning that game. And he was the best quarterback on the field for majority of that game. And the very next offseason, his general manager is talking about bringing in Tom Brady, the guy who he was backing up in New England. And to Jimmy Garoppolo's credit, never said a peep. Didn't react to it, didn't complain about it, didn't pull a Deshaun Watson and throw a tantrum on Twitter and start blocking people from social media and then getting his throwing coach defending him and getting into fights with Marcellus Wiley on Twitter because somebody spoke out against him. Nothing. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't say a damn thing. And his general manager came out and said, yeah, of course, yeah, we definitely talked about Tom Brady. Yeah. So when John Lynch comes out now and says, no, I think he's going to be the starter here. It's all about availability. That's the problem. I buy it. I think he's the one guy, and he's been critical at other times of Garoppolo. I think he's the one guy that actually tells the truth, that actually comes out, says exactly what he means, and I also think part of that is Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to handle that. He knows that he can speak openly and be honest and critical about Jimmy Garoppolo through the media. And Garoppolo is not going to take offense to it. Like, he's the one guy. He has no issue speaking about his quarterback like that. He will call. No, listen, I mean, that's the way. Like, I think this is the person in the NFL that if you just we always want to say, well, you know, of course they're going to say that. They have to say that. He's their quarterback. He's this. He, of course, that's the direction they're going to go. John Lynch, I truly believe, thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback next season. And if Jimmy Garoppolo's healthy, to John Lynch's point, they win a ton of games. This was a snake bit season for San Francisco. It just was. They go into a week two game against the Jets, and they lose, what, two defensive line? I think Garoppolo got hurt. I think Solomon Thomas got hurt. Bosa ripped up his knee and was out for the season. It was a snake bit year. You just had a feeling early on. This wasn't going to be a good year for San Francisco. But if they get back and they're healthy, and most importantly, Garoppolo's healthy, they've already shown you can win a ton of games. Kittle got hurt early last year. Like, it was just one of those years. But John Lynch coming out and saying, hey, man, if he's healthy, that's our guy in 2021. I buy it, because a year ago, he was as brutally honest as you possibly could be, and that was after he was the best quarterback for majority of the Super Bowl. I actually think this is the one front office guy in the NFL you can look at and go, he's probably telling the truth. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, we're going to play the blame game. Somebody in the NFL deserves all the blame for the situation they have on their hands in the NFL. That's next here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in, we'll call it about 15 minutes from now, top of next hour here on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. It is the Dan Patrick Show, so make sure you stick around. For whatever reason, your local programmer switches over to something else, you can listen on the iHeartRadio app as well. By the way, I don't know what anybody else is doing post-show, but let me tell you that I'm going to have to do a post show because the winds are at about 40 miles an hour in the area. It's trash day. And I made the mistake of not looking ahead and realize that it's going to be windy. And of course, I stuffed the trash barrel a little bit too full. So all that means is that the lid's going to pop off. It's going to flip open, and I'm going to have to go pick up garbage in the street before the trash man arrives. That's what I have to deal with. Right, because they do the mechanical trash can thing now. Old school, back in the day, they'd have a couple of guys hop out of the back of the truck, they'd throw it in, and it'd get taken care of. Nowadays, because it's mechanical and automated and easier, and it probably saves their back, now I'm going to have to go pick up trash in the street because it's not going to get picked up if I don't. So that's going to be a lot of fun. What a pain in the ass, man. Like, you guys are talking about freezing temperatures in the Midwest? Try 40-mile-an-hour winds on trash day. And 70-degree weather while we're at it. All right. So, listen, if I were to – I can't even believe that we're still having this conversation, honest to God. But I do think it's important to have the discussion because it involves one of the prerequisites for discussions on sports talk radio. Number one being the NFL. Number two being the quarterback position, and number three being the Cowboys. Like, it meets all the criteria for sports talk radio gold when it comes to what is actually happening with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Now, reports are there's been no new discussions for a couple of months. Not that big of a deal, considering we kind of know where we stand, and you know, we wait until the new league year, and then you get some things done. But they're at the window now to where you assume, all right, now we're going to ramp things up. We're going to continue to have these discussions and these talks, and we're going to try and get a deal figured out and try and get something done. And so Joe Corey of CBSSports.com, he came up with sort of a sample contract. He came up with, if they were to get a contract done with all Dak Prescott's leverage and everything he has going his way, this is what the contract could look like. And the way that Joel Corey presented it was like this. And there's a lot of numbers, and you can get lost in the details and the guarantees and all that stuff. But the way Joel Corey looked at it was like this. $41.5 million a year. That's what we're looking at for Dak Prescott. Now, you can throw a fit. You can say he's not worth $41.5 million a year. I'm not paying Dak Prescott $41.5 million a year. That's fine. You can get upset. You can get pissed off about it all you want. Okay, so give him the second franchise tag. That's going to be 37 and change. So what are we talking about here? And then if you want to franchise him a third time, it's going to be like $55 million. So you can argue that Dak Prescott's not worth this all you want, and you can go that route, and I would push back against it and just say this. It's not about where he ranks. Do I think Dak Prescott's a top five quarterback in the NFL? No. But that's not the point of the discussion. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the price of doing business. And the price of doing business now is in upwards of $40 million a year for the quarterback. That's just the way it is. Like, that's where we're at now. Back in the day, gas used to be a dollar something a gallon. Now it's not. It's $3.79, sometimes $4.09. When gas was spiking out here in Southern California, I can tell you this. Out here in Southern California, gas prices in some places were like $4.79 a gallon. I didn't want to pay that. I don't want to pay $4.79 a gallon. Guess what? It's either that or I use my Chevrolets to get to work. I don't want to do it. I don't want to walk on a highway to try and get to work. So you got to bite the bullet. You got to pay the prices, and you pay for the gas, and you come into work. That's the price of doing business at that time. For the Dallas Cowboys, the price of doing business for Dak Prescott is at about $40 million a year. You have two choices here. You can get angry, and you can blame the business for Dak Prescott looking at a $40 million a year contract, or you can do what you should be doing, and you can blame Jerry Jones. Because this is 100% on Jerry Jones. Because had they gotten this deal done when they had their first opportunity to do so, they could have saved themselves anywhere from $10 to $15 million a year on a franchise quarterback. Think about that. $10 to $15 million a year on a franchise quarterback. And they didn't do it. And there's a number of reasons why. You could say, well, you know, Jerry Jones, you know, he's a ruthless negotiator. Okay, that's fine. Remember the last time he tried to be a ruthless negotiator? Remember what happened? Yeah, Emmett Smith sat out the first two games of the season, and Jerry Jones came crawling back because the Dallas Cowboys were 0-2 and he needed to get a deal done. He's a ruthless negotiator. That's how that worked. You say, well, you know, but the Cowboys had other needs. What other needs were there? For them to pay their running back and their wide receiver before the quarterback, which no other team in the NFL would do? Like, they had three guys up for money. Quarterback, wide receiver, running back. And they paid the most important position last. And they haven't even paid him yet. Like, so we could place all the blame we want and say, well, you know, Dak's not worth it. No. He doesn't have to be, this doesn't have to be $40 million a year. This didn't have to be like this. Like, we don't have to be looking at a second franchise tag. We don't have to be looking at what Joel Corey pointed out on CBSSports.com and what the best guess would be, a $41.5 million contract. It didn't have to be like this. It could have been real easy. A couple of years ago, when Zeke's taken off to Cabo or wherever Clay's at for vacation right now, Zeke was out there hanging out, wanting his money, sitting out. Dak Prescott was in Oxnard, California. He showed up to training camp, was ready to work. Hey, hopefully we get a deal done. Could have gotten it done then. And you would have saved $10 to $15 million a year for a franchise quarterback. And now here we are still having the same conversation because Jerry Jones let his ego get in the way. And because Jerry Jones was like the dude, I said this earlier, he's like the guy at the carnival who ends up spending $65 to try and win a stuffed animal at the ring toss or the wiffle ball and the red basket toss when he could have gone down the street and picked one up at 7-Eleven for $6.99. Like, what are you doing, dude? But this is Jerry Jones' fault. That's why we're still here, and it's why Dak Prescott doesn't have his money yet. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. Outkick the coverage. This was fun. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.